Jam Wayne Swayze presents the Free 99 podcast. Be sure to follow SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Twitch, Instagram, and
TikTok. If TikTok were a part of the body, we're going to figure it out.
Search FREE 99 podcast. Shout out to all the sponsors.
Give us your money.
Shout out to all the listeners.
We hear you.
Jan in the building.
Yo, what's up?
JD Fresh in the building.
Hola, Free 99ers.
Yeah. Kumo B in the building.
My body's calling for ya. I gotta make my move.
I'm getting
ready and willing to do.
Should have put a choir on that.
I am the good homie Gus, aka Mikey's Papa, aka
it's me.
Gustin Timberlake.
Woo!
On episode 212.
Cry Me River.
Gustified Your Love. On episode 212 of the Free 99 podcast, Rommel. Could you please introduce who we're sharing space with in the space?
I would love to. Comfort. Comfort is defined as a state of physical ease and freedom from pain and constraint. Mm. The easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or stress. Everyone, and I mean everyone, wants some level of comfort in their hectic lives, whether it be financially, emotionally, personally. Comfort always seems to be the end goal. But see, the tricky thing about comfort is that it can be deceiving. As warm and cozy as it may feel, it can be dangerous, making one be complacent. And we all know that complacency is the killer of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Enter in tonight's guest. Our guest tonight has led a past life of complacency, moving from Arizona to LA, to the Bay, to Okinawa, leading a life of comfort in the Air Force with slight glimmers of hope, like his 2013 album release called My Time, which is available to stream on all platforms. Stream it now. It wasn't until around 2017 where he decided to change his trajectory and pivot, lean into the discomfort. The discomfort of being true to himself.
Mm.
And in that discomfort is where he realized that success in any facet has less to do with how much money is earned, but more so with authenticity.
Mm.
Embracing vulnerability. Be you and speak your truths, knowing that you may be wrong and are willing to learn and grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since then, he has flourished as a personal trainer, working for the likes of Fitbit, the Bay Club, Barry's, Gap, Nike, and is now the head of coach development at Tempo, an award-winning AI-powered home gym. See, in the Bible, the primary idea in the word comfort is to come alongside to give aid in a time of need. And this is truly what our guest tonight lives for. The Free 99 podcast is humbled to have Clarence Hairston Baloti, a.k.a. Lil Barrett, at the table tonight.
Hey!
Oh, that was awesome.
Thank you.
I don't know how to go on after that. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Singing career.
Yes.
What years were you like an entertainer on a cruise line?
So that was after high school, but like singing for me,
right after high school?
Yeah, because I didn't want to go to college. I started singing. I was 5 years old, and I just got up at church one day, and my mom and dad were like, "He's singing." And my mom and dad don't sing. My dad is my stepdad, so he's not my like blood father, but he lives in that delusion. And, right. And in a good sense of delusion where he's like, well, they don't know. And I'm like, we know, I don't.
Exactly.
I'm taller than you. I'm a little lighter than you. I don't look like you. But he used to always tell people, well, he gets it from me because like my dad can sing. But he can sing in the way that like, oh, black people can sing. Like,
right.
He can carry a tune. But I just started singing and I like, it took me so far. I would like watch people sing and I always like would practice it. And so I realized at a young age, I was like, I can sing. I don't need to focus on school. Like, I don't need to get
good. I'm going to be fucking famous.
Yeah, like, I don't, which might not have been the best idea. It worked out. You know, it worked out. But I was like, I don't have to do what they're doing. But I got a future.
The crazy thing, though, is that, like, a lot of people outside, like, right after high school, if they know they have that talent, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to get a deal. Fuck this. But you're like, I'm going to go on a cruise ship.
Well, because I was like, okay, so then, like, junior, senior year, I was like, I don't want to go to college.
New Mexico, right?
No, this is when I lived in Arizona.
Arizona.
I was like, I don't want to go to college, but I got to do something. So then we just
were like, I got to do something.
Yeah, it was High School Musical before High School Musical. Yeah. I got to do it. But so my dad and I would just go on auditions. So we would like drive to LA. We would drive.
Wow.
On the weekends. And we would just do these auditions. And that was what came back. And actually now thinking back on it, I think that was the first reality check of, and it's, they say this in sports. I'm a big sports guy. They say in college, everyone that was the best in their high school is on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to the pros, everyone that was the best in college is on the pros. Mm-hmm. Only the best of the best go there. So when I was at these auditions, everyone that thought they were fucking Clarence was at the audition.
Yeah.
So some I got, some I didn't. But I got one that was, you know, a good enough gig. I was like, okay, I'll go do this then, I guess. This is where it starts.
Yeah.
It starts today on the cruise.
So, I mean, was it signed by like, by months? Like, how did you figure
that
out?
So it was just by contracts. And it was like
you stipend?
Like, yeah. You just sign a contract and then you go forward after that one with another one. And then you can keep going. And what I learned in that experience is it's like anything where it's like to get the next job, you need to have already done a job. And so I think a lot of
experience.
People. Yeah. We were talking about Jennifer Hudson. Like, she started on a cruise ship.
Oh, word.
Oh, did she?
Like, a lot of people go because they're like, my resume is like the Centennial High School Talent Show. Like, I need something more on my resume.
Church forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, sang the lead at church every Sunday. Yeah.
Like, what was your ending? What was your like go-to song on these cruise ships?
So. A lot of them, they're like theme shows. So a lot of them are like full-on like production shows.
Right.
Like the one we did, it was like a Motown show for one of the contracts that I did. Another one was like Music Across America.
So what was your Motown? What was your Motown?
The one song I remember, because I was actually a singer-dancer. So singers.
And easy!
Like, wait, hold on. So you're dancers, like you had like the headset microphone on?
No, so I would have a mic, but it was like singer. So there's singers, singer-dancers, dancers.
Yeah.
Singers are like Jennifer Hudson. She was a singer. She
sang
in the lead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the singers and then the dancers.
I'm going to have to get closer to the microphone.
So yeah, please.
That wasn't even good.
Wait, motherfuckers, I'm warming up.
And then the dancers, they're the ones like doing the turns and the kicks and the flips.
Yeah.
The singer dancers are more of like the like it's just melodies and little 1-2s.
Yeah.
But it was good. I was like, it's good. It was fine. And my mom used to always tell me, because I remember it wasn't my fourth grade teacher, but it was my brother's fourth grade teacher, and he's a year older than me. She got married, and she wanted me to sing at her wedding when I was in third grade.
Yowza.
And she wanted me to sing what's his name?
Like
it was a white artist. It was like, and for a four-year-old. Like,
take a look at me now or something?
Like a third grade black kid who was used to like Babyface, Luther Vandross, Whitney Houston. I was like, Barry Manilow. It was a Barry Manilow song.
Barry fucking Manilow.
Barry, goddamn.
So my mom was like, "Yeah, shout out to you, Barry." Yeah. But my mom was like, "I was like, I don't want to learn this song. This isn't fun." And she was like, "You can't just sing one type of music. Like, if you want to be a singer, you got to learn different styles of music." And shout out to my mom.
Shout out to mom.
That was true, and I think it's why I have the music like genre, like the way that I like music now, started from there. But when I was on the cruise ship, it helped me because I was like, oh, I can do these different styles of music. I'm not just like out here trying to my way Usher. Like I can do other things. I'm versatile.
Was there a hip hop night?
It's not a hip hop night.
There was no
hip hop. This ain't Carnival.
There was a hip hop night, and it started and ended with, oh, it stopped.
That is
snakes on a boat.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. It goes like dun, 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 dun.
For sure.
CMC Music Factory definitely getting played.
So after, right, you finish your tour.
Yeah.
You end up in LA.
Yeah. Well, that's because I was in LA for that. And then
that's where you poured it out of?
Yeah, poured it out of. And that's where we did rehearsals. And I think I just realized, I was like, after the third one, because I do a few gigs. Because one thing, too, is I didn't know how to work hard.
Like, and how old were you at this point?
I was like 19. Because I graduated at 17 because I was one of those summer birthdays. So my parents were like, you can hold him back or you can send him early. I was a badass kid. They sent me early. They're like,
get on. You're not the hell.
Go on a cruise ship.
So I graduated when I was 17. So I did it for like 17 and 18 and then like the start of 19. But I didn't know, like, and I don't know how you knew this. Maybe you saw into my soul, but I didn't know how to work hard. Because I was good at what I did. Like, even I was just like, I don't have to try.
Yeah. Oh, you just relied strictly on the talent.
I was like, I'm not going to practice. Yeah. I don't need to, like, go do things. So I would do little auditions here and there, but then I started getting no's. And it's hard to get no's when all you've been given is yeses.
Yes, rejection is hard.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So I would get a few gigs, but then after the third contract, I was like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm not getting any other jobs. So I was like, well, I gotta figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do. I don't wanna go back to Phoenix. It's still hot.
So you're like, it's still Phoenix. So you're like, I don't wanna go back to Phoenix. So I'm going to go to lovely Daly City.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like I said, never been to the Bay Area in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, San Francisco, I know they did like that Full House show there.
Wow.
I think it's nice. Robin Williams.
Sister Act 2.
Sister Act 2, Princess Diaries.
Sister Act 1. It was so many. Sister Act 2 wasn't.
I thought it was. I thought Sister Act 2,
It was
supposed to be.
Oh, but it wasn't in actuality.
I was in sixth grade when, I like to talk about this. I was in sixth grade when Whoopi Goldberg filmed Sister Act in my school. On Church Street. On Church Street.
So you could have been the kid that, oh, he taught me how.
There's a lot. You. Oh, so you did warm up.
He's warm. He's working right now.
Oh, happy day.
So you moved out here. Where'd you first live?
So I lived in Daly City because I looked on Craigslist and there was like, they were like, it's, and now I know better. there's a room available and it was for $400. And I was like, at that point, I'd burned through all my cash. So I was like, I got like $1,100, which $1,100 in 2008,
that's actually pretty good.
That's a decent amount. I got like a month or two to figure it
out. At 19, $1,100?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of money.
You're on top of the world.
Yeah. At 19? Mm-hmm. Like, so you only did like the cruise line for like barely
a year and a half. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I said, okay, well, I'm gonna go.
You did a lot more at 19 than I did at 35.
Yeah, we're going.
I created life at 19.
Yeah.
Shout out to Caitlin.
That's a lot, and it's good and a good thing.
I mean, I love you. Anyways, back to you, my bad.
But and so yeah, then I came and what was the room for $400? It was legit a closet, which is not a metaphor for the future part of the story. It was an actual closet. Like above my bed were clothes.
Like Harry Potter shit.
Like Harry Potter.
Wow.
This stage is much larger than the room that I was in. But it was $400, and it makes sense now. But it was in Daly City. I had no clue what Daly City was.
Yeah.
I still thought it was the coolest shit ever, though. Like, I remember, like, the night I landed in SFO, I had a friend from high school who was living here with her boyfriend at the time. And she was like, I can pick you up, and yeah, I can show you around. Fast forward, plot twist, her and that boyfriend broke up a month after I got here. She moved home. So then even the only person I kind of knew was gone.
Damn.
So then I remember I landed and there was like fog and I'd never seen fog before. And especially in Daly City.
And you're like, where's the fire?
Like, I remember because I lived right across from Lincoln Park. The house that I lived in was right across from Lincoln Park.
Oh, you was in the east side of Daly City.
Yeah.
Shout out to east side of Daly City.
But I just thought it was so cool because it was so different. Like, and I think that's one thing I tell my friends who are like born and raised here. I'm like, if you've never lived anywhere else, you don't realize that like this is a bubble. This is not something.
We're our own thing.
Yeah, it is.
That's why the Bay's kind of snobby.
You can confirm that. We are our own thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a no thing.
It is different. And like, if you go, I think that's why when people who move here versus like being here and going somewhere else, when you move here from somewhere else, you're like, this shit ain't that bad. Like, you guys don't realize, like,
everything's awesome. Within a walking distance.
Oh, just the way of life is like, it's so different. There's a culture to it. Like, and there's not a lot of cities, like, lived in Phoenix, lived in Texas, lived in New Mexico, lived Okinawa. In Alaska. Yeah, well, Alaska? I mean, that's a whole different thing. Yeah, because my dad was Anchorage, yeah. I'm like, it San stinks. Francisco has.
That's what probably does. At the age of 12, he figured out that it
kind of smells.
It might have smelled. Probably smells like moose. But yeah, but like, I was just so excited to be here. So the next day, I was like, I got to find a job. I was like, there's a mall. And then I just go to the mall, and then that's how life started.
And by mall, you mean Serramonte, not Stonestown?
Not Stonestown, no. I went to Stonestown, which, looking back, and I guess Stonestown was closer.
Well, technically, yeah.
Yeah, it was closer.
But it was fate that brought you to Serramonte.
Yeah, went to Serramonte Mall, which is like, anytime I hear someone say Serramonte now to this day, like my ears perk up. I'm like,
makes you giggle a little bit.
Yeah,
too,
right? Like, what you know about Serramonte? What you know about
Serramonte? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, drop some knowledge on. I'm like, what you know about Serramonte?
Tokyo Grill, you ain't never got them. That's here. Oh, yeah, the Mrs. Fields. The Mrs. Fields, especially at the end of the night when they give you like the half off cookies.
The day old.
I know someone that stole a turtle from when they remodeled the fountain.
Oh, yeah, they had the turtles in the fountain.
I know someone that stole a turtle.
Stole a turtle.
Serramonte was a vibe. Like Serramonte, and I told these guys this before I moved here. I probably have, but I don't, like, not officially. I'd never met a Filipino in my life. Mm. So when I walked into Serramonte Mall, I was like, man, these Mexicans are different.
These Native Americans out here?
Like, they move different, dog.
These Mexicans, they got a little, like, they got a little
spicy.
They got like a Alaskan or something. I don't know. Inuits or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, some people ain't one out fucking with me.
Exactly. It's crazy because they're not speaking Spanish.
No, and I was like, and they're kind of like hip hop y, but they're like tan and
not
brown.
Like lighter shade of brown, you know? Yeah. Like it's more so like, yeah.
It was crazy, but yeah, I went there, I applied at the Forever 21. Shout out anyone who worked at store 722 Serramonte.
Store 722?
Oh, yeah, made. And I was stupid too, because again, these are things I didn't know. I didn't know anything here. If I was smart, I would have got a job in the city, because the minimum wage in San Francisco higher. Back then was like
so much higher.
12. Yeah. But the minimum wage at Serramonte was $8.
Yeah, exactly. $7.75.
And if you were by Lincoln Park, you're literally two blocks away from San Francisco.
I didn't know. Yeah. Like I said, I knew nothing. I did no research or anything. But I would not take that decision back forever, because I made, and I'm so proud of it, the friends that I made while working at that for that Serramonte Mall, those are still my friends
today. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because those friends are the same reason why, like, you have been in my life.
Yeah.
And I do have to tell you that, like, that group of friends, shout out to Jenty, shout out to Just, shout out to Miles, shout out to Dina, shout out to all of y'all.
Shout out.
Jeff, Mark, I love you, Mark. I miss you. Fremont's not that far. Come back to Daly City, you son of a bitch. You, at one point, taught me kind of like what true friendship looks like, right?
Okay.
Where it's like you can be completely honest, open and honest. You can give them criticism. You can tell them, yo, fuck you. Yo, this is dumb. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
And there's not really any shit talking behind each other's backs.
Yeah.
It was all to the front, especially with kind of like Gen Z leading that, being kind of like mama bear. Yeah.
It's, well, you know, I will always remember, and I look at it often. My mom, I remember she wrote me a letter when I left to come to San Francisco. And it was just like about things that we didn't talk about as a family. And I feel like a lot of families go through this where it's like, I mean, you're not sitting down with your 12-year-olds talking about credit and credit cards, like, or you're not sitting down with your
financial
like,
wellness
13-year-olds and talking to them about, like, you know, like, you're going to meet people that are going to use you or, like, not stab you in the back. But my mom, she, like, wrote me this letter, and it, like, talked about those things. And one of the parts of that was friends. She was like, remember that not everyone is your friend.
Amen.
And it's such a good lesson that, like, not everyone is going to be there for you the way that you'll be there for them.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I think also, too, and this is no shade, but I think living in LA, I experienced a lot of that. Like, it's a not a, yeah, it's not a, a lot of surprise. Fate, like, like, you know me well.
A I little too
to,
well.
I don't know. I don't talk to anybody from that year and a half in LA or anyone that have that part of my life. My best friend in the entire world, her and I became best friends when I was a freshman in high school. We haven't lived in the same city, state, since I was 17, and we're still best friends. So it's not normal for me to like know people and not stay connected.
Was that your beard?
Wow. My what?
Your beard?
No, she was not.
Okay, sorry.
But so like, I don't know anybody from Atlanta. I think that taught me like, okay, these aren't the kind of people I need to be around. And when I moved here, I moved differently. And I was like, these are gonna be my people. But I think I also learned, you can't just expect people to be there for you. You also have to be there for them. And like Gen Z and Marty and Mark and them, I'm like, okay, if they're pouring into my cup, I got to make sure I'm pouring back into their cups. And like, even now as we've gotten older, like They got kids. Everyone's married. Everyone's got stuff to do. So I'm not going to get on your ass because, like, I didn't talk to you this week. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a funny ass meme. We're going to laugh about it. And then hopefully I see you next month.
Yeah. It truly is kind of like what I now hold as the definition of friendship. Because, I mean, even just like yearly, you guys get together, yeah, right? And I'll randomly be invited.
Yeah.
And I don't really show up to a lot of these events. And it's because I'm just busy or I'm fake busy. You know, whatever it is.
Fake busy is a real thing.
Yeah, fake busy is a real thing, okay?
I'll be fake busy this weekend.
But when, but when I do go and I see everyone, you know, with like Stan, Jess, fucking Dora. I love Dora. It's family. It's love. It's true. Just kind of like everybody enjoying each other's energy. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter if somebody's like being a bitch or somebody's acting up or something. It's true love.
It is, and it's. I think there's also a value in it. So for me, like being a military kid, I never had those friends that like, oh my God, me and Jimmy went to third grade together, or like, you know, I knew Tony since like we were playing Little League soccer because I moved so much. Mm-hmm. So when I moved here, I was like, okay, I want to like plant roots. But it's also been so awesome to know that like these were my friends when I was 19 and we were going to Tonic Live clubs, going to Whisper. We were
Whisper
doing
SF was Whisper different.
Whisper SF was different. Oh my gosh.
Wait, speaking of different, let's talk about going to clubs. So when I first moved here, again, didn't know shit about the Bay Area.
Okay.
None of that.
Please take the floor.
The first time I saw people getting hyphy, I remember I was like, I don't know what this is. And one thing I've always learned too, I said, most people move like this. In the Bay, it's a more of a side to side.
Yeah, it's almost a two step.
Yeah. And like the first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know what this is, but I like it. And I was like, this is like, you know, like in black church when they like, I was like, this is like, it's like they got the Holy Ghost, but it's like the Bay Holy Ghost.
I don't see colors in church.
Then you're going to the wrong church.
Shout out to the ghost.
But I remember going to the clubs and I used to just, because I just love to dance. So I was like, I loved like learning just the like Bay way of life.
And what year was that? So you were 19.
2009. Because I moved here. I remember I moved here in October 28th, 2008. I know that because Barack Obama won a few days later and I was in Ceremony Mall. I was doing the low clothes and I just heard people screaming. And I was like, fuck, I just moved to California, about to get shot. But then this lady runs by Forever 21. She goes, do you guys have a TV? And I was like, no. She was like, Barack Obama just won. So I always remember it was like at the end of the year because I thought I was going to get shot. But really, she was just happy Barack Obama won the presidency. But so then I started going to the clubs in like 2009. And I was like, this is like, even the way that they dressed, everything was just like, I was so into everything that was happening.
I love to hear it.
I was just into it because it was so
different. The flowers, the dessert.
Yeah, I love to hear it.
I mean, because like you go out in Scottsdale, I would go out in LA. And again, this is my experience. If your experience is different, like I think that's great for you. This was what my experience was. Like I would go out in LA, I'd go out in Scottsdale, I'd go out in San Diego, other places, and it's like Ed Hardy, True Religion. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like we all got the same dog.
Affliction.
Affliction. Rhinestones on everybody's jeans. But then I came here and it was like
Mark Dutch
Jabros and fucking like. I got a tie on.
I got a tie on
with a vest, but then my jeans are three sizes too big. Like it just was like, and then everyone had the dress shoes.
Yes, because we had to at the moment. We had to
slacks and click clacks.
Yeah, and then the girls had on the newest shade of Forever 21. It was just like,
and you were like, I did that.
I was like, damn, I took that out the plastic yesterday.
I put that mannequin up together myself.
Exactly.
Justin got the mic. JD.
No, I like to say, because I don't know, if being born and raised here in the Bay,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm probably not alone, but we looked at like people from SoCal as like they care so much about how people look at
them.
And like for us, in a way we do, but we don't care what people think.
Oh yeah,
true.
But we do, like, it's kind of in the middle
where,
like, dudes were dressing with the big ass glasses,
yep,
like 4XL shirts, and it's like
having, we only a good cared how time
from the liquor,
like,
store,
you know, internally, like how our section really looked at us. But
I always felt like it's too, like, I always like thought LA was about, and again, I'm not shitting on LA. I think it's a lovely place to buy property, but to me, I'm like, it's all about following trends there. And here is more about like appreciating and cultivating culture.
Yes.
And that's what was happening here. It was like, I'm not wearing this because it's trendy. I'm wearing this because this is what I wore at Jefferson High School. This is what I like. Yeah. See the people that are like
Jefferson
doing
High
crazy School. Things.
Is this somebody from Arizona / LA.
I know like four high schools. Most of them are in Daly City. I know Jefferson is one of them. But, yeah.
Just to clarify, and I say this because I have a lot of family in LA. I spent a lot of time in LA. There's two sides of LA.
Yes.
There's LA that people who are from there, mm-hmm. and then there's the LA side of people who live and work there, mm-hmm. which is two separate sides of
the economic coin
on top of that.
Right.
So what he was in an industry to where it was entertainment. So he was. And he's not shitting on LA. He's shitting on the entertainment industry that LA is a part of because there's a lot of fakeness.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like in the Bay Area, we experienced that in the last decade with tech because it was the same thing. You take out entertainment industry and all that with tech in the Bay Area where it's a lot of people that moved here for work and all of a sudden it was
following
Patagonia
the money.
Vest and Allbirds. Like, it was just different.
That's why the culture's been sucked out.
Wear a pair of Allbirds, doggy.
Fuck Allbirds.
I would never wear a pair of Allbirds.
Speaking of friends, my friend Dora, this guy that she used to hang out with, he was from Boston. And I remember one time our friend wore a vest. It was like her work vest. And he was like, "Did you just show up here with a company puffer?" And like, ever since then, he was from Boston. He was thick Boston accent.
Puffa.
Anytime I see one, I'm like, "Oh, that motherfucker's got a company puffer."
Goddamn company puffer.
I didn't even have to explain it. You all know what I'm talking about. The company puffer is that Patagonia with
it's
like.
It's a bro vest.
We know what's Marvel. Like, we know what's Marvel.
Pinterest. It's like. I have one at home. I have one for Big Glove. I was like, oh shit.
So you lived, you joined the military?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
You lived in Okinawa?
I did. I got super lucky. When I joined the military, I joined because I was just like, okay, you were doing the, like shout out to you. I was doing some like cool shit at 19 and stuff.
Absolutely.
Then I moved here and it wasn't that I wasn't doing cool shit. I think I was growing up. I was like
doing
maturing.
Cool shit.
Yeah, literally.
You outgrew the city that you were in.
Yes. And then I was like, I got to do something more.
Yeah, I grew international waters as well.
Do you mind telling us that night that you realized that you had to kind of like do something more? You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. So we went to Vegas for the first time because we turned 21, and it was the Pacquiao Cotto fight. Also,
that's different. That's like Ceremony Mall on steroids.
Ceremony Mall, but then also like a San Jose Mall, like meeting in the middle.
Oh, it was Valley great. Fair.
Yeah, dude, that was me. Because we went to the viewing party. We didn't go to the actual fight.
You.
Yes, I think we've talked about this. That's we went to the viewing party. And so everybody that was for Pacquiao was on one side.
Oh,
it was
everybody
like jail,
that was for Cotto was on one fight. So you already know what it was. It was Filipinos and it was Hispanic people, Latinos on one side.
Waiting for
and then there was like. There was like a gaggle of blacks in the middle and a few of the whites. It was the first time since the end of the Civil War that we came together and we're like, let's stand with each other. But the blacks and whites were in the middle. But then at the end, there was like this whole like Mayweather versus Pacquiao and like the
blacks.
Everyone started like, Pacquiao. And they're like, Mayweather. And I was with the Filipinos like, Pacquiao. And they're like, some
the
of the black people
in the
were
group.
Looking at me like,
what are you doing?
I'm on this side.
What are you doing?
But anyway, we went to Vegas. We had the time of our lives. It was so fun. And like, I got back and I was like, I have no money. I'm still in this closet. Like, I'm having a great time, but like, what am I doing? Mm. And so I just realized I needed a reset, but I didn't have the resources. Like, I don't come from money. My parents don't have money. Like, I was like, I need a reset. What can I do? I was like, I'm gonna join the military. So then I'm literally
just off top, huh?
Yeah. Next day I went and signed up.
That's what you thought. You did this.
I just decided to do it.
So you lived in Okinawa?
Yes.
What you know about Gate 2's taco rice?
Well, there's great taco rice all over, but I know about Gate 2 especially. You know, I just got to go back to Okinawa.
Tell the people what taco rice is for those who don't know about Okinawa's taco
tell
rice.
Tell me, I don't know what that shit is.
It's hard to explain because when you just like explain the ingredients, they're like, okay, it sounds like rice with like taco ingredients. But it's about the way it's prepared. Like if you've never been to Japan, Japan is, they're on a whole, like what I said about the Bay Area, Japan is that for an entire country.
Yeah.
And they really don't give a shit. They just dress how they want.
Uh-huh. But it's also just so, like when we went there, like Brian was like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Like, I don't get it. How does it work? It all just makes sense.
Like a giant video game?
It's just
a bunch of NPCs. But everyone gets the point. You know?
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah.
It's like if I could envision like everyone just following the rules, and I'm because of the military, I'm very like, make your bed in the morning, do the things you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, they beat that shit into you hard. Like, integrity, I hate it. I do it all the time. Like, I'm someone who is like, I'll get that dish in the sink later, and then I'll tell myself I'm a piece of shit and go do it now. Yeah. Like, I've still
what
that
the fuck
to this
are you
day.
Doing? You ain't doing shit. Yeah, right
I'm like watching you crying.
I'm very, but it's also a good trait. It's like it one of those things where it's like, discipline. Why wait to do something later that you could just do right now? Yeah. Because the chances that you might not do it later are much higher than if you just do it right now.
Taco rice.
But what taco rice.
What is taco rice?
Talk about it.
So taco rice, it's not the sushi rice, is it? Because it's more like a crispy rice, kind of.
Like almost like a fried rice?
Yeah. Okay. But it's got like the taco seasoning. It's got like the ground beef. There's a sauce that I don't know what that sauce is. It's like a mix between sour cream and spicy mayo and sriracha. It's some kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
And then nice. They got the lettuce on it with the tomatoes and the cheese, and then they melt the cheese, and it's just delicious.
And it's on rice.
Yeah. So no shell. It's on rice.
It's on rice.
It's an Okinawa thing.
Yeah. That's the rice is like, it's like this crispy kind of rice.
Yeah,
it's really but the rice doesn't act like a shell. It's in the middle.
It's just not like on rice.
It's like almost as if what was it like that egg that they put on top of it? But it's just this taco stuff.
Omni rice.
Yeah.
But it's just tacos.
But it's good. Gate 2 is fun too. Okinawa was great.
What is Gate 2? Is Gate 2 like?
It's crazy.
Four gates, right?
There's four gates
to the Okinawa.
You know what's crazy? It switched though. When I first got to Okinawa, because I was in Okinawa for 4 years. Year one, Gate 2 was a crazy street. But then it like slowly, because I think a lot of people started opening bars on Gate 1, mm-hmm. and Gate 2 was so crazy that it was starting to get like policed down a lot. So then Gate 1 became
spread it out a little
bit. Yeah, and it was fun, and people got in a lot of trouble. I think like the third year I was there was like. Two Marines like raped somebody, and then like a Navy guy like broke into a house all in the same weekend. So then all the bases got locked down for like because there was protesters. But it was a great time. I enjoyed living there.
It was a great time.
Way to round that back up, buddy.
But other than that, it was a great time.
Nothing like Karate Kid 2.
Not at all. Nothing
there was no like, hammer yet.
No.
What else did you do in Okinawa?
You want me to talk about the singing stuff?
I want you to talk about the album.
So
and that. You know, usually I open up the episode with a little bit of lyrics.
Yeah.
You recognize those lyrics.
I did recognize it, yeah. So at that point, I put music behind me. I was like, you know, and I was like, this is the thing that I'm good at. I will always be good at this thing. It'll always be my passion. It could be a hobby. But I was like, I'm going to figure out something else. But then somehow our commander heard from somebody that I could sing. And I remember, like, I got done with my shift, and she, like, comes in the room. We all stand up. She was like, Airman Harrison, I heard you can sing. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she was like, they're doing this, like, military idol contest. I want you to go audition for it. So I was like, all right. I mean, sure, why not? So I go, I audition, I make it. And it's, like, a 10-week-long thing. It was just, like, for all the bases, because Okinawa has a ton of bases. It has, like, 8 military bases on that small island.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was just like that. They whittled it down. I did not win. I got second. This big black lady won, and I knew she was gonna win because like she sang the song and she had the story about like her daughter that she almost like
she American now.
Oh yeah, and I was like, she got so much sorrow. I'm just up there.
And you were like, I live in a closet.
I think I sang grenade. I was like, I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say?
Military pandering.
You should hand it to the military, dog.
Grenade, bro. These grenades made by Lockheed Martin. No, but. It was great. But then after that, like, I remember going back to my dorm a few weeks later and, like, some guy, like, got the dorm key from the dorm chief and, like, came in my thing and, like, left this contract to make an album. And so I, like, called him and we made an album. It was great.
Japanese dude?
No, he was a white dude.
Okay.
He was
from in the military?
Yeah, that crew was weird. White dude who was bald.
Hey.
I can't remember his name. But there was like a Jamaican recording studio that he was, like, connected with. So I recorded this, like, poppy little R&B album with these Jamaican, like four Jamaican guys that were always just like smoking and shit in the studio. It was cool.
The lyrics already wrote?
No, I wrote them all.
Okay.
I wrote the whole thing, and then like we did a bunch of
quadruple threat
tours. We did like I got to open for Lloyd, which would never do that again.
What?
Yeah, it was
Braid My Hair? No, that's Mario. Lloyd,
Get a Shotty.
Murder Inc.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Icebox, but that's also Mario.
That's Omario.
I remember I always thought it was weird because he opened his set with Bedrock. So he would just go up there.
Young Money Bedrock.
But he would just go out there. sing the chorus and then just let the raps play.
Yeah.
And just smile in our ear. And he was just like going around to the audience. I was like, this is awkward because there's a lot of verses.
Yeah.
In this song.
Like it's barely chorus, you know?
I was like, you could at least like do the ad libs.
And he's just taking a breather. He's like just sipping his Aquafina or something.
Yeah, but I got to do that. I got to open for a few other people. And I like, it was cool because I had a band there. I actually saw a picture, like Facebook was like, reminder of this. And my guitar player, my bassist, no, guitar player, keyboard player, and backup singers were Japanese. And then the drummer and the bass were
black. Live band.
Yeah, live band.
Okay.
And we did like a lot of shows. It was fun. Like that was a really fun time. It was also like towards the end of my time there. And I'd also met like really great people. So I was having a good ass time. And the music thing was fun. But I even when I did it, I was like,
because you were trying to put it to bed at that point, right?
I was like, I'm done with it. And I was like, should I? But it was more so of this awareness too of, I know the last time in LA, this didn't work because I didn't have the work ethic. Now I have the work ethic, but that's not my focus. So I was just like, I'm doing this because the opportunity's here, but this isn't what I want.
It was just a thing to do.
It was a thing to do because I knew it was less about work ethic at that point, and it was more about, I don't have the passion for this.
But see, that takes a lot of discipline, right? Because you're talking about kind of like reverting to a talent that you know you could do with your eyes closed.
Yeah, yeah.
But you had the discipline that you earned in the Air Force.
Yeah.
To just be like, this is just...
Yeah, it was just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, this is snake oil. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just had a different like mindset. It was like foresight of like, I know what this will take.
Mm.
Could I do it? Probably, yeah. But I need to like weigh my options and I need to figure out what I want out of life and... I don't want to go down that road. Like, I've got something good going here. Mm. I can take this, use the benefits that I've got to build something on, and this will always be here. Like, that's the greatest thing, too, is it's like, if I want to sing, I can sing. Like,
yeah.
I could decide tomorrow, hey, I want to dedicate the next 3 years to do this, but I was like, but I can't go down that road right now. That door's closed. I'm moving this way, and I got some speed, so I'm going to just keep going.
So after that, right, you came back to Daly City?
Came back.
How many years
did
of
I
service?
Live in Daly City?
How many
five years.
And it was a closet like still there for you?
So no, that time when I came back, it was almost, and I was kind of like sad. I was at the Travelodge by SFO. It's right behind the IHOP.
Shout out to all the working
women. Shout out to Costco.
That's when my friend at the time, Justin, I was supposed to live with him. He said, hey, if you come back, like you can stay with me for a while. But then my friend Justin got a girlfriend.
The Just Bus.
And girlfriend was living with Justin, so I couldn't live there. So then Miles and Dina offered me to live with them in Alameda for a little while. And that's when I first saw Alameda for the first time, which will come up later. But I first saw Alameda for the first time. But then Justin and girlfriend broke up. So then Justin was like, you can move in again.
Yeah.
So I lived with him for like a few months. And it was literally like starting over. Because I remember when I couldn't live with him and I didn't have anywhere to live for that like 2 days, I was just at the Travelodge by SFO.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I don't have a job. I don't know what I'm gonna do. This is literally the same thing all over again. I got about, this time I have like $3,000.
But when you're like, oh, hey, yo, double up, bro.
But with the inflation, it was like 2014. So I was like, it's basically $1,100 again.
Yeah. So was this before you went to SF State?
Yes, this is before all that, yeah.
And then you were probably, was this when you were working as a bartender?
So this is when I was, yeah, because then, so then I went and I actually interviewed for Dick's. Remember when there was that Dick's in Fisherman's Wharf? Dick's is the restaurant where they treat you like a dick. And like you pay to get treated like shit. Like you get bad service. It's like a tourist trap.
Like Wiener Circle in Chicago?
Yeah, exactly like that. It was, I interviewed there and I interviewed at this restaurant, Hillstone, and I was just like, Dick's seems like a tourist trap. Hillstone, these people, like you have to wear a tie. Like I'm going to work here. I'll make more money.
Yeah. So you worked as a bartender?
Yeah. So I worked there as a server because at Hillstone, and Hillstone's a shit. Shout out to Hillstone, owned by Houston's restaurant group. If you have one near you, go get it. It's delicious.
That used to be the Houston's.
It used to be the Houston's, yes. Yeah. And they turned into Hillstone. Yeah.
What year is this?
This was 2014.
This is when you didn't move into Lyset yet?
No, I moved into Lyset. So when I moved into Lyset, I was a bartender. But at Hillstone, they don't hire bartenders. You have to be like a exceptional server, and then they'll make you a bartender because as you make considerably different money.
Right, right.
So I moved to Barback, and then from Barback, one day someone didn't show up. Euro stepped
like
right
into
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I was like, here we go, and then I became a bartender, and that's when we moved into Lyset.
Go ahead, Jess.
Quick rewind.
Yeah,
I was curious because how long did you stay at the Travelodge there?
2 days.
Oh, 2 days.
Only 2 days, yeah.
Did you know they house inmates like fresh out of prison at that Travelodge?
That's probably what they thought I was.
Don't
probably,
ask me why I know, but I know.
I probably could have stayed there for free. I'd have been like, man. No, I didn't know. Fun fact. I remember, I just knew it was like, it was
kind of shady a little bit.
It was shady
bit.
And it was super cheap.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how long I was going to have to stay because I was like, I don't have anywhere to live.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good.
Oh, no. I had an Okinawa question. What's your favorite karaoke? Like, did you have like a spot to go to?
So what I will say too, one thing about Okinawa is like the first like few months we were there, we ate out a lot, but we did stupid like, cause I was 21 or maybe I was 22, but I was 22 when I moved there. So we ate a lot at the Chili's on base.
There's a Chili's on base?
Oh yeah, there's a Chili's on base and it's popping on Friday nights. Oh yeah.
Did they have baby back ribs?
Oh, they had baby back ribs, the honey chicken crispers.
Well, the way your eyebrows rose when you said
that. Listen, if you know me, you know I'm a big sucker for like big American chain restaurants that are just mediocre.
Taco Bell.
Yeah, because when I moved here, we don't have them. Brian and I drove all the way from where we are in Alameda to South San Francisco like 3 weeks ago to Red Lobster.
Just for the biscuits.
Just for the biscuits.
Just hey. For the biscuits.
Digital Underground. Just grab them by the biscuits.
Just grab them. Literally. And the funniest thing was because he'd never been, and we walk and I go, fuck, this place is nice. And he like looked back at me and he's like, it's not that nice. I was like, dude, for a Darden restaurant, it's pretty nice. He was like, how do you know what restaurant group this is? I was like, it's fucking Olive Garden, Outback Steakhouse, Red Lobster.
Texas Roadhouse?
Oh, Texas Roadhouse. So, oh, dude.
That's
Sans Peanuts.
That's pretty much Outback's
comp
with the peanuts.
Yes, it's so good.
It's the same thing.
What were we talking about? So I have a question for
oh,
you.
Oh, no, wait, no, I didn't answer his. So the karaage. So I didn't have that much Okinawan food. And then also when I started.
Yakisoba, none of that?
I had some yakisoba. So I just like chicken karaage. That was like the really the only one that I had. Mm. But
Surprise,
yes. But then because of my job that I had in the military, we were gone a lot. So we flew. I never deployed, but we do this thing called TDY, which is temporary duty leave. And so like every 2 months we'd be in Thailand, be in the Philippines, be in Malaysia, be in Korea.
Living.
Wow.
You got paid to see the world.
So just go places. Like, it's always funny to me. I've been in the Philippines more times than a lot of my Filipino friends.
The crazy thing is, like, first.
You look Filipino, dog. I'm gonna let you know.
Yeah, for real. The crazy thing is, at first, it was like, oh, let's do this shit by sea. And then later on, it's like, all right, now let's go by air.
Oh, wait, am I crossing eras? Dude, I didn't even know that.
Dude,
I gotta get my land era now.
So, my question for you is, at this point in time, was this before or after Gen Z dubbed Hannah as her favorite singer and you got really upset?
Which I don't think I was upset that she said Hannah was her favorite singer. One, Gen Z is sinister and she is I think she's a Virgo, or is she an Aries? She's one of the petty ones. She's petty.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love you, Gen Z.
Yeah. But I think that was before. It was after, because I didn't live with that. I didn't live with them in Lyset when that happened.
So this is after.
This is after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Gen Z knows it. And that's one thing back to the friend thing. Like, I think one of the reasons I love them, and I love like especially like my best friend, my two best friends in Arizona, and then obviously I have my friends here. But like Gen Z and Marty, they're more than friends to me. Like that is my family. Like they can tell me no matter how much I've like started to accomplish or how much better I've gotten in life, they are always able to say to me, you're being an asshole. And I go, I'm being an asshole.
Marty, for sure. I love you to fucking death, Marty. I don't talk to you enough. You are, and I said it before, you are the asshole that I need in my life.
Yeah.
Every person needs one asshole in their life.
Yeah.
Marty is that asshole.
Marty's an asshole. Gen Z is more of like she's like a big sister, like a mama bear.
Yeah, mama bear for sure.
She'll remind me when like you mess up. But then also, she'll be like, when I'm right and like my feelings are hurt or something bad happens, she's like, you're justified to feel that way. What can I do for you?
It's this crazy thing. And the thing is that
Ramel does that for me.
Yeah, see, I have to say, that's what I was going to say.
Mama bear.
That's right. They, them, bear, bro. So,
bear?
Yeah, so like what I have done is that like what I've learned from you and your friends is that I've applied it to like any friendship that I've like built in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes Jan, that includes JD, that includes Gus. Gus and I have to say, JD, all of us, the three of us, four of us, are actually very close.
There's a lot of feelings, though. You know when you get close?
Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah, there's a lot of feelings involved.
It happens, though, right? You cannot... It's like, if you're going on a journey together, it's bound to happen that a toe will get stepped on.
Yeah.
Right? It's just about moving forward. And that's love, right? Yeah. Address it, move forward.
Yeah.
right? And I think that's what I took away from you and your friends.
I think it's also important too, especially like in male friend groups, because there is this whole thing. I've always been able to have really good male friends that are still my friends to this day. And I always just think, I'm like, it's weird. Like, why do they like talk to me so much? But I realized I was always just comfortable with being like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, I remember I had this friend in the military, and he was like my best friend in the military. And I remember one night, like, he was going through something with him and his girl back home. And like, he came down to my dorm and he was like, yeah, man, like, don't make fun of me. But I was like crying in the shower because like, she doesn't want to be with me anymore, and asked her to marry me. And it was like this whole thing. And I remember I looked at him, I was like, hey, don't ever cry in the shower again. If you need to cry, you can just come down here and talk to me. Like, I'm not going to make fun of you for that. And like, I think those little things where it's like, I had this really good friend group in the Air Force where it's like, we just allowed each other to be who we were. Yeah. And it didn't matter when people were like, oh, that's gay, man. You're talking to him with like two syllable words. Like, who fucking cares?
The funny thing is that you basically outlined everyone who said that with that accent that you tried to make.
That right? is hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that, it's just kind of like, it's that stupid stigma, you know, where it's like, oh, you can't feel that way. You can't think that way. But it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You
know? Everybody feels. Yeah. Everybody has things going on. And like, I just try to carry that over with my friend group. Like, that's why we do the things that we do here. Like, I'll reach out to, like, I remember when Marty's mom passed, I was like, I'm just going to, hey, how are you doing? Like, if you need anything, I'm here for you. And it's weird because, like, something simple like that, I didn't, like, write a soliloquy for him or, like, try to make him hug me or do a play. But you know what I mean? But it's just, I think it's creating space, like, making space for people in your life.
Check-ins are important.
It's a small, it's a small thing that really can make a big impact for people.
And again, like, I have to stress that, like, that is something that I carried from learning from your group of friends.
Yeah.
But one thing that I did not carry was when you tried to work on, I think, Justin Bieber's dance routine with Miles and Hannah.
Yeah, can you
expand on that a little bit? Because Gus and I, we haven't worked on any dance routines, but
No. Hannah's, she's a, what were they called? That was such a long time ago, which is crazy.
Love you, Hannah. Love you, just by
the way. I feel like love Justin Bieber's only like 30, but it feels like that was forever ago. But what were they? Beliebers. Hannah's a big Belieber. And it was when
I don't like that you said that very Filipino-ish, but I'll take it.
That's the way it said.
It is how it said. Yeah.
Actually, funny story about that. So then we were just at like Miles's house, and Hannah was like, "Do you guys know the dance to this?" And I was like, "Nah." And I was like, "Am I fruity ass?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll learn to dance." And then Miles was like, "I'll learn to dance with you too." But I will always remember one time at Temple. Miles was DJing.
Shout out to Temple.
Yeah, and it was actually level 55, so it was like where all the cool people went underneath. People with, that went rolling on
with
Molly.
A tie tent. Yeah.
Different time.
It was a different time, but he was playing like Justin Bieber's new album came out, that, and it was that "Where Are You Now?"
Yeah,
and I remember
again. Warmer. It just gets warmer and warmer.
He legit like played like three of those songs, and like all of us that were in the booth, it was like me, Marty, Jency, Hannah. I looked out at the audience like quickly. Nobody was dancing, just us in the booth. It was like he turned the whole club into just the booth, and he was like, "I'm just gonna play the songs that we want to hear." And I will never forget that because we were just like jamming to Justin Bieber, and everybody else was just kind of like,
"What is this?"
Yeah, exactly. What happened?
So I do want to. This is a huge part that I told you about that I do want to cover. Is that you did live at Lyset?
Mm-hmm.
I was your slumlord.
He was my landlord, yeah.
Slumlord is
trillionaire.
But there was a time around 2017 that you suddenly moved out.
I did.
And this is aside from you peeing in the corner of your room.
Who was it? Peeing in the corner of my room.
You did?
I did do that. You did do that. I used to get drunk at Lyset. But there was a lot of things that happened at Lyset, but I used to,
But there was a turning point, and this is something that I really wanted to outline. Because I knew it from the first minute I met you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I look back on it now, and I'm always like, I was telling this story to someone at work the other day. I was like, yeah, I remember like sophomore year, I was in theater, and the kids were watching like Chicago. Like, all my friends were gonna watch Chicago, but it was a Saturday, and my mom's like, you have to clean the house. And I was like, Mom, this is the biggest event of the year. Like, I have to go. Renee Zellweger gave the performance of a lifetime.
Renee Zellweger! Shout out to Renee Zellweger!
I have to go watch Chicago. And my friend was like, bro, you were so gay. What's weird to me though is because I felt like, and even I told Brian that story when I got home, and Brian is like, yeah, it's weird. Most people come out of the closet and they like flourish into their gayness. He goes, I feel like you came out of the closet and got straighter assimilating. Like,
it's
you
kind just of are, true.
Like, you just somehow were just like, I'm less gay. But yeah, that happened. I remember by that time in 2017, I had like figured things out. Like, my life was going in a really good direction. I was really hitting my stride, started to do the fitness thing, making a name for myself, making good money. And I remember I was like, I can afford to live on my own now. And I was going to move to the marina, but I was like,
that's gay.
That's deep. Also, I was like, I don't want to be the black guy that lives in the marina. Right. So I was like,
Hey, y'all.
Plus, I knew I was going to come out. I was like, I think I'm ready.
Like, you had on a calendar?
I was like, 2018 is the year.
How old are you when you 28?
27. But so I remember I liked Alameda because I had lived there for like a few minutes. So I was like, I'm going to go look in Alameda. And I got more for my, like, more space for my money. Mm. And I was like, I don't mind the commute. They got a ferry. I'll take BART. So I moved to Alameda. And I remember.
Whoa, hold on.
It's just
the ferry?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Yo, I seen you, dog.
It's fine. Because my now husband and I, every time we take the ferry, we're always like,
so sorry.
We're two ferries on the ferry. You don't have to be sorry.
Don't be sorry, bro.
Funny. I'm a dickhead, dog.
I was like,
you
both. You would take the ferry. But, you know, like, that was actually when I moved there, though, I was like, I'm about to slut it up. Like, I was like, so this might be new for anyone here that's not gay, but like, in the gay community, it's a big deal if you can host, meaning like you can have people come to your place, which is also just great because I'm like, get out, and then I don't have to drive home.
Yeah, you're like, all right, y'all.
At Lyset, this is going to be news to him. I only ever hosted once. There was only one.
I'm sorry, that was not in the contract.
Exactly. You know what it was, too? And I always remember it was game 7. 2016 Cavs Warriors, because everyone was out of the house. I'm not a Warriors fan, so I didn't go downtown to watch the game with everyone. So I knew they would be gone for a certain amount of time. And I was
son
like,
of a bitch, I was downstairs.
Well, I was like,
that's what that rocking was.
Come over. And then what's even funnier is because the game was so close at the end, we watched the end of the game together. Then I was like, all right, you gotta go. My friends are gonna come home and they're gonna be pissed.
And they're like, he's like, all right, bet.
I have to say, you know, I remember getting a call or a text from Marty.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, come upstairs. Little Biz here with his boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, because did you not know? Because I went over. So then
I knew, dog. Like,
okay, wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like excited. I was like, yo, I'm about to fucking like just be slutting it up. I got this nice one bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. It's not fucking nice in Alameda. First guy I invited over. Ruined my life.
The sparkling talent of Zach.
I married for, but yeah, so then after that, I was like, okay, I got to tell my friends. And I remember I went over to tell Marty and Jency.
Yeah, they texted me.
What was really funny is when I sat down, Marty was like, what? Are you gay or something? And I literally just looked at him and go, yeah, actually, I am.
And the funny thing is,
and he just stared at me.
I walked up the stairs and they were like, I was like, I looked at Little Bear and I said, you are horrible at hide and go seek.
Which some people knew, which like Dora was like, oh, I always knew since I met him in Hawaii. Which is, I think the crazy thing too is, and I'm like, I'm a crazy, my mind I've learned is different. I think this is maybe why I idolized Kobe Bryant and like, because what I liked most about Kobe Bryant wasn't that he was a great basketball player, but he was. But I liked his mind. Mm. And this is going to sound insane, but I loved when, like, in the media it was about how, like, he wouldn't back down from Shaq.
Yeah.
He wouldn't back down from Shaq. I loved when he had that whole, like, case going on, the fact that he was like, I'm still going to play.
Yeah.
I loved that no matter what anybody put against him.
Probably brought the case, but yeah.
Yeah. And no matter what anybody brought against him, he said, cool, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I've always, like, kind of tried to be that mindset too of like, don't limit yourself. And so I was that person that was hopeful. I was like, no one's gonna disown me. No one's gonna say anything to me that I'm different. No one's gonna do any of these things.
And you've always had a lot of confidence though, right?
I've always been confident. Like it. And I think one thing
you're right, Gus.
Yeah. I've always been confident. But I think, and I've learned this with my therapist too though, is that I think that I'm
shout out to the therapy.
Yes.
Shout out to therapy. Get it.
My therapist has helped me realize like I'm one of those people who can compartmentalize like decision making into I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. And I am someone who makes I can make really fast decisions.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm not thinking about the variables. I've just accepted what those variables may be.
Right,
so I'm
right,
not
right.
going to say yes to something and then something bad happens and be like, oh my God, I didn't know that happened. No, I knew that that was an option, but I knew in saying yes, that that could happen. Same thing with saying no. I'm going to say no to this. And then I'm not going to be, if I miss out on something, like, oh, I missed out. No, because I've already decided I can live with that.
Yeah.
And so I go into a lot of situations where, and coming out was one of them, where like, you come out, you might lose some friends. And I said, I can live with that. And that's fine.
They're not really my friends to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was like, if wow. I lose friends, if I lose family, I don't need those people in my life. So then that gave me confidence to be like, who cares?
That's one thing that I guess, you know, and I overthink, I analyze a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've kind of like ran this through my mind. And I kind of like tried to put myself in your position where, just how you must have felt like all of those years prior to it, right?
Yeah.
There must have been like a lot of like struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have female relations during this time?
Oh, yeah. I tried to have girlfriend.
Shout out to Jess.
I mean, I did have a lot of... I never dated Jess. Jess, I didn't tell him I dated you. I had a lot of girlfriends.
Okay.
I knew I was just gay. Showing off.
Are you still friends with them on socials?
One of them was at my wedding.
Who?
You didn't see Catherine. She was at my wedding.
Yeah, you were. I did. She was at my wedding. Shout out to Catherine.
Because I remember when my mom was like, he would date these girls and he'd be like, something's wrong with him. During my mom's speech at the wedding, she goes, what did he say that was wrong with me? And she goes, shh, be quiet, Catherine. But she was like, we're still really great friends.
It's not about you.
Yeah, it's not about you right now, Catherine. We're not in Mexico for you, Catherine.
Ironically, she is getting married next year. I will be going. But I knew I was gay from a young age. I remember when most kids, and it was Power Rangers, it was my gay awakening was Saved by the Bell, because I remember my brother loved Lisa Turtle.
And you like Screech?
I love Lisa Turtle.
No, I loved Zach Morris, which everyone's always like.
He's Filipino.
Shout out to Brian.
He's really?
He's half Filipino.
Oh, and that's what drew you to Daily City.
He's half Filipino.
But then even like in watching Power Rangers, a lot of my friends would be like, I love the Pink Ranger. She's so hot. I love the Yellow Ranger. And I was like, it was
Yellow Ranger. You're like, Billy.
I was always like, okay, something is different. Like,
so was it Zach then?
No, I think it was Zordon.
Jason.
Whoever the green one was.
Tommy. Dude, that's so R.I.P.
My thing about this is like, why do you have to be so stereotypical? Like the Green Ranger who was the White Ranger. You
know, because I always like whoever the leader was. Like, I was that cousin with all my friends.
He was the alpha.
I was the one that's alpha, like, that's yeah, alpha I'm going to be the
leader. Not alpha on Power Rangers, but he was the alpha.
Yeah. That's right. There was like, I was always the one that didn't need the group. Like, my mom loves to tell this story about how my grandma always loved my brother because he was the first grandkid. And then she loved my sister because she was the first girl. And she was like, and Clarence would always be like, I don't need her love. Like, even as a kid, I didn't. I was like, I'm fine. I don't need it. And I told my mom, I don't need her to love me because the world's going to love me. Like, I don't need it. And I've just always been that way.
So my question that I've always wanted to ask you, being that it took you so long, right?
Yeah.
And we see how much you grew in such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just by letting loose,
yeah.
By being vulnerable, is there any like regret in not coming out earlier?
Today,
like, do you kind of like rehash this in your mind? Like,
I don't rehash it too much because I don't like to. I think I love my life. I feel so
shout out to Kobe, dog.
I feel so incredibly blessed.
Shout out to Brian. I love you, Brian.
Honored. Like, I'm one of those people that like. And we talked about music. Like, I'll hear a song and it'll remind me of something in my life, and I like. Mm-hmm. I won't cry, but I'll just become like extremely grateful for everything I have, because so many wrong turns could have been taken, so many things could have happened, but to end up where I am, like, I just think about where I am today. Like, I remember I lived in a closet in Daly City for $400. I own a home in Northern California.
Get the fuck out of here.
On an island.
I own 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, 1,800 square feet.
Just relax. Yeah. Just relax a little bit. Relax. Pull that back about.
Dual income, no kids.
Pull that back a little bit.
Dink.
Just please don't drop your body fat percentage, all right? Just relax.
My brother-in-law made up a new one. We're actually dildos, and it fits because we're dual income little dog. Only.
Dual income little dog only, son.
Your mom dildos. Part of this? No, my brother-in-law.
Oh, brother. Hey.
But no, I think about that all the time, and so like I understand. No, I don't think about dildos all the time.
Hey, yo. Shout out to Brian.
Again, you're giving him so much credit. But because I know, like, even if one thing would have been different, like say the music thing would have worked out, and maybe life would be grandiose over there too.
Yeah.
Multiverse.
My life would have been different, but like, I'm someone too, like, I encourage my sister all the time. I'm like, Stop. I paid a lady a lot of money, my therapist, to teach me that perfect doesn't exist. Because I love Kobe, but the one thing that I got from Kobe that's not good is Kobe wanted to be perfect. And I always had this idea of I can be perfect. And what I learned through therapy was that, like, even if I reach my version of perfect, that might not be perfect to you. It'll be like, I don't like that. Right. And you'll probably be like, you could have did this better. Perfect is an illusion. It's this thing that we make up in our head. And so I'm putting this unnecessary pressure on myself to be a version of myself that I think everyone wants, when that's not what they're asking me for. No one's actually asking me for anything. No. Everyone was asking me just to be myself.
Right.
And so when I let go of that, I think that's when things started to happen. And so when I think of, like, going back in time, I definitely would have wanted to come out earlier. I would have been like, yo, because in high school, my first boyfriend was my freshman year. It was this kid. He was a junior. I was a freshman. Mm. He was on swim and, like, played baseball or some shit like that.
And look what you missed out on, you bitch.
I broke up with him.
I'm sorry.
I had a boyfriend in high school. It was a secret boyfriend. That's when my mom actually first found out I was gay, because I'm 35. So landlines, not everyone had a cell phone back then. But she noticed this person kept calling. So one day she picked up the line on the other line and she heard. This is one of the most terrifying days of my life. She comes to school. I get a call like, Clarence Harrison, please come to the administration office. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So I go to the administration
office. Damn, you were so nonchalant back then.
You didn't do shit, right?
I was like, yeah. Probably won an award.
Perfect attendance. Yeah.
I wonder which song they heard of mine now.
They want me to sing for the here. President.
Who was back then? Ross Perot. Possible president, I guess.
George W. is here. But then I show up and my mom's sitting there. She's just not looking at me. My mom and I are close. Like, my mom is, I am a carbon copy of my mom. Just, I'll never be as good because she's amazing. She's perfect. Mm. Even though perfect doesn't. She's
not for moms.
And she's just not looking. She has a weird look on her face. And then she's like, all right, do you have your things? I was like, yeah. She's like, okay. And I, like, started thinking to myself, I was like, what the fuck did I do? Maybe I got a dentist appointment?
You're like, these teeth are perfect already.
But I thought it was weird because my brother and I are a year apart. So whenever I was a freshman, brother, sophomore, junior, like, we've always been, I was like, it's weird that Troy's not here with us. And then we just get in the car. And we just start driving, like, but we're not going to a destination. I don't know where we're going. And then,
right,
like,
off the bat, you were able to, like, figure this out.
I was like, I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And at that point,
no radio on.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, maybe something's going on with my dad, maybe something's happening with my sister, something with grandparents or Troy. I don't know what's going on. But then we started talking, and she asked me, she said, who is Brad? And I remember at that moment, because that was the guy's name, I was like, she knows. And I remember I denied it for a little while, and, like, there was this whole, like, I started crying and she started crying. She pulled up over the side of the road and was like, why didn't you tell me? And I remember even in that moment, my mom was just like, I love you. I don't care, like, who you love or any of those things. And keep in mind, this was 2002. So she was like, but I am worried about you because I know the way that the world sees this,
right?
And all those things. And so I remembered that. And so, like, would I have loved to have been out then? Like,
yeah,
but I think I would be different. I think I'd be a little jaded. I think the things that I would have had to go through, I still would have been confident. I still would have been me. But I think who I am would have been different having to go through that set of circumstances.
Right. Mm. It's kind of like, it's kind of poetic how it all worked out.
Oh, yeah. Timing. That's one thing. When people ask me now, because they're like, how do you, like, what's the secret to you and Brian's relationship? And one of the things I would say, I'm like, timing. Like, timing, I think had I even, because to your point, like, Brian was the first guy I talked to when I left Lyset. Had I have started talking to Brian when I was living at Lyset, I don't know that this would have happened.
And I did hear, is this true? Okay. I need you to confirm. Is it true that you got a feast of crabs with Brian?
So, we did get a feast of crabs. So the first time I met Brian's family, so my husband's name is Brian.
Shout out to Brian.
Brian, awesome. I love you to death.
He does.
Thank you for inviting me to your wedding.
Yeah.
Fuck you, little bear.
It was a tight guest list. You know what? You made it. You made it.
I made it. Shout out to Therese. We did it, baby.
It was great. He's the best. He's the big reason for all of the growth and happiness, because I always tell people, are like, oh, it's because you've been to therapy. I'm like, no, therapy was the tool that I used. Brian was the reason.
Right.
Wanting to be better for somebody else was my goal. Therapy is a tool I used.
Say that one more time.
Please repeat that. That's a bar.
Therapy was the tool I used, but Brian was the reason I wanted to be better. And it's true. He's the reason why I've made this way, because I'm like, now, where it used to be music, Mm-hmm. Then when I was in the military, it was a mission. It was like, there was always these aim high, fly, fight, win. There was always these little micro reasons, but then plopped into my life was this purpose of like, I just want to make this work. I want to make this person happy. I want to be the best version of myself. How can I show up every day? And I don't. There are times that I, like Brian will tell you, he always goes, it must be past 9 p.m. Your dad's getting tired. He says that to our dog all the time because I'm an asshole sometimes. But I always am trying. I'm always trying to
What time is it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's close to mid.
I'm always just trying to be the best version for myself. But yeah, so when we first started dating, he was like, okay, do you want to meet my family? And he's from this small town called Sutter Creek. And so I was like, all right, I mean, I know a little bit about Northern California, been here for a minute now. I lived here for a
few. Is that in Northern California?
Yeah, it's
in
Northern California.
Beer sack, light the beam, yo. I know he's a Kings fan.
It's about an hour and 45 minutes away from here.
Okay.
My mom asked me the first time I went there, she goes, what was the town like? I said, you know the movie Selma? It looks like where they filmed Selma.
Town.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's one road. And so there's a big hotel on it. Right now it's called the Sutter Inn, but it used to be called the Bilotti Inn because his dad owned it. His dad owned the hotel, bar, and restaurant.
Light flex.
So they like, they grew up working there. Like, oh, everyone knows.
Bilotti.
I was there 2 weekends ago and I'm walking our dog and our dog saw another dog. So they started talking. Obviously, you talk to the dog parents and the mom was like, oh, you're married to the Bilotti boy, right? Like, they know the Bilottis. They're, like, famous there.
Were you like, yes, ma'am?
But, literally, there was, like, this thing called a crab feed they used to have every year. The crab feed is gone now. But in the crab feed, Brian's like, do you want to go to the crab feed? So I met his family. His mom also, like, I love Patty. She is my favorite mother-in-law in the world. But she was being shady because when I met Brian, I told him my name was James. And for a good reason. Because I'd met a guy on Grindr once. And I told him my name. And it was just supposed to be, like, a hit it and quit it kind of thing. But then he followed me on
stalker
all
shit.
So yeah, some stuff, sending me messages, made fake profiles. I was like, I'm not telling these people my name no more. I was like, because I don't know who it's, you were crazy.
Yeah,
and yeah. Grindr and Tinder and Bumble are not the same. These things that are not like the
I'm
other.
I'm so happy I didn't get involved in that part.
I just wanted to say that again. Dating. I've never been.
MySpace was kind of like my cutoff.
It is new.
If it ain't posted on the wall. Yeah.
The first time I heard of Tinder, because I moved back from Japan and that's also a myth that people think Japan is like technologically like light years advanced. That was in like the 70s. It's not like that. Like, it's not at all.
It's got stuck in the 70s.
Yeah. Right? They got stuck in Palico. Yeah,
good book, Shoe Dog, which is Phil Knight's book about like his life.
Mm.
It even talks about that in the book about how like the reason he had to go get shoes built in Japan is because their technology was so much further advanced than ours. But then as Nike started to progress, he was like, I don't need to be in Japan anymore because it really stopped. They stayed stagnant.
Yeah.
But so when I came back, like Tinder, I saw Tinder. I'd never heard of Tinder. And like the people at where I worked were like, you don't know what Tinder is. I was like, in Japan, we just say hi. Like we don't.
Just like that?
I got some good ones.
That was a good one. You've thrown out like 10, and that was the first one that hit.
Wow. He didn't come here in a kimono. He didn't come here in a kimono.
Yeah. You're like that. Who's that guy that plays for the Warriors? Pajemski. 1 out of 10.
I'll take it.
Oh, the redhead kid?
I don't know. I saw
Shooters,
him. I was
shoot. The by the way, Lakers fan, thank you for paying attention to the Warriors.
I did. We watched it because... Why are we watching? Oh, it was when they were playing the Kings.
Sorry, it's so crab.
Oh, yeah, so crab feed. So, yeah, the crab feed, it's just like this, like, feed where there's, like, buckets of crab. They put it on your thing, and, like, a lot of people from the town go. And it was great. I got to meet, like, a lot of people from the town.
A lot of eyes on you, huh?
Oh, no, yeah. Hand sanitizer. It was. I looked different than everybody for a significant reason.
Hey-o.
I went to 3 different, but now it's lovely. Like, I like Sutter Creek. Sutter Creek is nice. Like, I enjoy going up there.
That sounds like a retirement home.
Center it creek. Is really pretty. I've always said.
Or like a bottom shelf wine.
It's Sutter Homes. That's what everyone says. Whenever Brian says he's from Sutter Creek, they're like, oh, like the wine. And we're like, it's Sutter Homes. Sutter Creek is different. But no, we go up there all the time and it's like, it's super nice. And I always try to convince his brother and his sister and their spouses. I'm like, we should buy back the hotel. All of us could own it. We could run the restaurant. We could make hella money. We wouldn't make hella money. And then like, exactly. By the time I leave, I'm like, I can't live here. Nobody's listening to Beyonce here. Like, it's just crazy.
Now they are because they have the country album.
they're burning him in the town square.
Yeah, good old book burning. Maybe if you had that hotel and you started selling that taco rice.
There you go. Taco they do need different. A good Japanese restaurant up there. They don't have, because the food is kind of.
Sushi Ritos. Sushi Rito?
I don't like Sushi Rito. Sushi doesn't need to be that big.
Hey yo,
you've heard
yeah, it does.
I'm not a is it still around? A sushi rito?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Even like at local kitchens.
Local kitchen, like yeah. You outrun DoorDash a lot, don't you?
I plead the fifth, but Therese don't look at my bank account.
Dude, you gotta cut out DoorDash. That was my New Year's resolution for 2023. I saved hella money.
Yeah.
DoorDash is the one.
You know what my New Year's resolution was?
What?
I didn't have one, so that's why I'm here where I'm at.
Everybody make New Year's resolutions.
We like to play this game.
Okay.
On the Free 99 podcast. I didn't think of a name of it. So the game is pretty much we're gonna describe something celebrity / workout / health related things.
It's called Gymperty.
Thank you, Ramel.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Ramel. So we're gonna start off with
JD.
JD Fresh. Get him.
Wait,
the
what
mic.
What do I do?
You have to fucking.
You have to guess.
Oh, guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Justin.
So I, Gus said we gotta word these like Jeopardy questions. So
okay.
This one's kind of it's not gym related, but it's sports related.
So I like sports.
Let's warm up.
Fun fact: my dream job is to be a sportscaster.
All right.
That's how I'll take it.
1 point to name how many players and extra points for naming the players.
Okay.
The number of athletes that have earned lifetime deals with Nike.
Ooh.
Number one. Isn't it just LeBron?
Oh, look at that.
It's sure? Wait, lifetime deals.
The number of athletes
to earn lifetime deals.
I'll give you a hint. There's less than a handful.
I would say
Ken Griffey.
I can name three.
Wait, I would say LeBron, KD. I guess Ken Griffey because I just heard it.
No. That was a horrible guess.
LeBron, KD.
You can't miss
technically
this.
Technically, is
one.
Michael Jordan?
Bingo.
But I was confused because I was like, he's super. Okay, you know what
you
I'm
got
trying
it,
to say.
You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
There's three. Okay, there's LeBron, actually three, KD. And it's those three.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. Kobe's not one of them.
No.
He just renewed though. The wife, renewed.
That's a whole CEO.
Wait, did she renew? I thought she didn't renew.
I think she because they had to do this with the retros and all that. So yeah. I think she did something out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's better.
Yeah, you're good. That was good.
Okay.
Are you ready? I'm gonna be more so music. All right.
I got this one.
U36 in a karate class. Nas referred to this workout made famous by Billy Banks.
Tybo.
Jeopardy, please.
Oh, what is Tybo?
Correct.
Billy Banks. That's
a pioneer.
He is the original Peloton instructor. He was the original.
You have to buy the VHS from Billy Blanks.
We did Tybo in the high school gym class on the rolly cart TVs. They brought in like four. And they were
with
like,
the TV strapped
in. Yeah, with the strap on it.
That's a great one, Mel. The idea that would become later the George Foreman Grill, which made over $500 million, was originally offered to what wrestling Hall of Famer?
Holy shit, Gus, I am hard.
Right I'm going to say that one more time.
Okay, George.
The idea that would become, that later become the George Foreman Grill, which made over $500 million, was originally offered and declined by what wrestling Hall of Famer?
I'm buzzer, and I feel like this is the only wrestler in that time that was big enough. Who is Hulk Hogan?
Yes. Terry Bollea.
I was like, okay, George Foreman, what is the time frame? Because I'm like, it's not going to be The Rock or The Undertaker. And I'm like, the only one that was big enough was Hulk Hogan.
I just want to see, say, like, Coco Beware.
JYP?
Yeah, exactly.
Or who is the black guy that, fucking. TD Jakes? No, that's a gospel singer.
You talking about Virgil?
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Oh, go ahead, JT. Okay. What you got, boy?
Mine's music related too.
Okay.
In January of 1984, Michael Jackson was performing a high energy dance routine for this product's commercial filming when he was badly burned by a pyrotechnic accident.
Oh, I know the accident.
The company is.
Fucking question.
Wait, can you repeat the question?
In January of 1984, Michael Jackson was performing a high-energy dance routine for this product's commercial filming when he was badly burned by a pyrotechnic accident.
Which company?
Which company?
That
That's a good question, Jess. I love you, Todd.
This is a great question.
That's a great,
you
know, I know exactly the moment, but I'm trying to. I don't know what it's for, so I'm just going to throw
a shot. Alfonso Rivera was also in one of the commercials for this with Michael.
Ooh. It's not on you.
80s kids. 80s kids.
What is Coca-Cola?
Oh, Coke would be Pepsi would be very bad.
It was a Pepsi generation.
It was Pepsi.
Wow. At least I knew.
You're close.
50%.
You're
shooting her. You're close.
This won't get me canceled, but like, I didn't grow up listening. So I grew up listening to Michael Jackson, but I didn't like Michael. Like, I liked Michael, but I loved Babyface. I was a big Babyface Whitney Houston person.
Were you Michael over Prince, though?
Yeah, Michael over Prince. Yeah.
Okay.
We've had this conversation before.
Prince, I didn't know about Prince, but I wish I could go back and learn about Prince.
Are you Whitney over?
Oh, I'm Whitney over everybody. Is Whitney
over Mariah?
Mariah.
Okay. Absolutely. Whitney
over Mariah.
Oh, did you see those?
We will not talk about this right now.
Whitney is the one.
When they did their duet, those live performances, Whitney shit over Mariah like every performance.
All right. Well,
didn't even sweat.
Whitney is the one.
Besides on her lip.
Yeah. Show me Whitney's collaboration with Old Dirty Bastard. Anyway, so, all right, here's my question. Okay. I did run this question by Therese, and I realize that this is extremely subjective, but I want to hear what you want to say. Okay, what you say, okay? J. Cole raps. Mm-hmm. Let me see you get high and get low. That girl dropped that thing down to the floor. References which workout movement?
It could be, what is a squat jump or what is a burpee?
Yes! Oh my God, Therese! Yes, I said burpee, she said squat.
Yeah.
Super subjective.
She is technically right. Because she said,
is technically right.
This is a guy that does them on a regular basis, yeah. So it's
get high, but then low, and
but
then drop
it. Start a squat standing.
Yes.
Then you get low.
Yes. And then drop it down to the floor.
I guess it could be a burpee too.
It could be a burpee.
That is a joke. Because you could. Some people jump first and then go down.
Yes.
They're weird. I go down and jump.
And then here's my follow up question. I have a follow up question with this.
Please do.
J. Cole once sampled this artist's workout plan.
Kanye's.
Correct.
Oh, nice.
Song.
We don't support his viewpoints, but he made good music.
And I'm still waiting for my pods, Kanye.
He makes good music.
Wait, what pods?
The some shoes. Ones.
I want to dress up like a ninja. Anyways, go ahead.
He would buy those.
Before,
fuck you.
Before the rebranding, this wrestler's workout was called Yoga for Regular Guys Workout.
Gus, I fucking...
So before rebranding, this wrestler, championship title holder, the original name before the rebranding was Yoga for Regular Guys Workout.
One, I just love Yoga for Regular Guys Workout. That would sell like crazy today.
Do you wanna maybe call a friend? Who do you think?
YRG Yoga.
No, because I feel like I'm in the...
You'd have to call Marty. Marty's the one who would know.
I'll give you a hint. He also tag team with Karl Malone. And against a tag team match where...
I remember this.
Where Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan tag team with Dennis Rodman.
That's fucking...
Macho Man Randy Savage?
Nah.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, Diamond Dallas Page. I didn't know. That pointed me out a little bit. I don't like Diamond Dallas.
Diamond Cutter.
Bang!
Diamond Cutter.
Which he sued Jay-Z.
He did sue
him? Yes, he did.
He sued Jay-Z for that, for the Diamond Cutter.
Hey, yo.
We're here.
Good, Jay.
All right.
And this is the final round.
Final round.
I think that's the only one I missed.
That was it.
Yeah. So
you're above 500.
This famous athlete paid $8 million to get out of the remainder of their endorsement with Adidas.
$8 million?
$8 million.
Who is Kobe Bryant?
Bingo. Whoa. As a Laker fan, you should know.
Because I was thinking of who went from Adidas to Nike. It's been a few, but I was like, $8 million seems low.
Like, catch
so
me
it
out.
Had to be older.
Someone that had the money.
So I was like, it had to be older.
He actually was 23 when he did it.
Yeah, those are early Kobe's, those Adidas ones.
I love those.
Those are cool. Those are cool, man.
I love those crazy
ones. Cool. Were they cool?
They're are cool. I mean, Kanye makes very similar style stuff.
All right, yeah. I will say this.
Sorry,
point taken.
Everyone take 2 steps back before I say this. I've never really liked the Wave Runners, but when you wear them, they look really cool, and it makes me want them.
When Ramel wears them?
Mm-hmm. That's a true statement.
Do you hear that, Therese?
I've seen so many other people wear them, and I've always been like, they look stupid. But when you wear them, I'm always like, those look really good, actually.
I'm the reverse. Out. Everyone else looks really cool. When Ramel wears it, looks very stupid.
Trash.
I can't get into
this. Get the fuck out of here. We do have to wrap up.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have your last question?
I have my last quotes.
Do you want to go first? Yeah. I have one more question.
Do it. Final round.
Go.
Okay.
I'm on a roll.
Let me see here.
Are you?
Besides her starring in hit sitcoms such as Three's Company and Step by Step, Suzanne Summers also earned an estimated $300 million over the years selling what fitness product?
Ooh. You young.
Besides, you're pretty young.
Millennial fuck.
But Step by Step was a vibe because I had a
Step by step, day by day. Oh, you guys are harmonizing it? Okay.
Cody was a motherfucker, man.
He was. He did have like that weird rape.
The second time around.
Banger. They don't make theme songs like they used to, by the way. Also, most shows don't have theme songs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is it have to be something? The Hula Hoop. What is the Hula Hoop?
No.
What the fuck, the Hula Hoop?
Well, because I'm like thinking older, I'm like, what were they? There's not so many old, random.
Dog. Relax.
There was a lot of random stuff.
There was a lot of random shit.
It was called the Thigh Master. What is the Thigh Master? Yeah,
the Thigh Master. Do you guys ever see one of those machines where it was like a strap?
And it would jiggle like the strap.
Yeah, 70s and 60s are so weird.
There were so many fitness things that were just like, what the fuck?
So we do have to end it. We are at time. Let's start with Jan. Jan, what last words do you have for our guests right now?
Man, nice to meet you, Clarence. Thank you for having us here in your beautiful space. I might put some stuff on the green screen. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But
what is the album cover?
Don't. It's a bad picture.
It really was a bad picture.
I love how you know like all the years that you... like kind of did stuff. I can't remember any kind of year that I was doing stuff. And the self-awareness is like a thing that I admired about this whole podcast. And I learned a lot. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
JD Fresh.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for hosting.
Yeah.
And it was great hearing your story. There's a lot of shit I found out. And just like your growth in life, especially for, I mean, not just coming out, but like you saying you didn't like to work hard.
Yeah.
Yet you joined the military.
Yeah.
And that just shows, you know, like you're always up for the challenge, bro. And big ups. I'll totally respect that, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's me. So I have 2 quotes I want to read. First one is the first one that comes to mind. And I've told him this before. I admire how much he is unapologetically his authentic self. His energy is so contagious, and that's why everyone loves being around him. Little Bear is such an amazing friend, too. He's that person that will always be your number one cheerleader, and I'm so grateful Jency introduced us.
Yeah.
Who's that from?
Someone else said that?
Somebody said that.
To me?
Yeah, who's that from?
You.
No, that's from Jess.
Aw. Why did she say that to you?
Because I asked her for fucking quotes.
Aw, thanks, Jess.
You obviously don't watch the pod, my guy.
He does. Yeah. He doesn't get this far. Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine.
You know what? That makes sense because when you said I was your number one cheerleader, I was like, I am always supporting you, but I'm like,
bullshit, dog.
I don't cheer you that hard.
Yeah, exactly.
I do cheer Jess. I believe that, man. You got to just like... I just want my friends to grow because I think I see a lot of people who feel like they outgrow their friendships. Yeah. And I think that that's a choice. And I think that sometimes with friendships, you can just, it's not pull people along, but you can grow together.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
Here's one more. Since meeting him about 12 or 13 years ago, I've seen Little Bear become more himself and continue to peel back layers as time goes on. He's someone who continuously outgrows phases of his life, not being afraid to come into the new versions of his true self. He's also sneaky as shit. Tell him I know what he was doing when he would disappear during the DJ sets in Reno. I have to ask you, what the fuck were you doing?
Jeez.
Here we go.
That's why I said that, you know, they're different worlds.
What were you doing?
You know, you just get on apps, you know, sometimes the music moves you.
Yeah.
You ever heard Flo Rida at a hotel club in Reno?
That's weird because my apps are like Taco Bell and I probably order something. Who said that? Who do you think said that? That was Miles.
It was Miles. I was going to say it either had to be Miles or Jinsey.
It was Miles.
That means a lot. I like the peelback layers thing because that is... My husband hates that. He's like... No, this is like a real...
It's okay.
It's like a real thing. He was telling me, he goes, one thing that's challenging about being married to you is I have to get to know who you are every few years because you refuse to stay the same.
And he said
it's not a bad thing because it challenges me to grow with you.
Yes.
And I was like, it took me a second because at first I was like, fuck you. And then
you're
like, wait a second. I think that was nice.
Yeah. you're like, thank you, Sutter Creek. Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you for asking people those things. That was kind.
Well, just want to add, okay. See, what the context, as a Laker fan, if you could explain the check that you made this check, correct?
First off, again, another sign. Who makes a check like that? Who's like arts and crafts?
I think that was Cars for Kids.
So Marty and I made a bet. When I think the Lakers beat the Warriors, and it was the last time the Lakers beat the Warriors in the playoffs, besides last year. And I remember we got next. I was like, nah, I bet you $100 the Lakers will win another championship before the Warriors will ever win a championship. And in hindsight, in 2012-11, that was a good bet.
Yeah, that was a good bet. That's a safe bet.
Because even at that time, I think the ownership of the Warriors was betting on who was old boy name before... Steph Curry, who was the guy that was there?
Montez Ellis.
They were betting on Montez. Yeah,
prior to the sleeves.
Mississippi Bullet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Before the scooter accident.
Yeah, I paid up and like it was good. Now it's fun because I get to be a teacher for all my Warrior fan friends because they're like, everyone hates us now. And I'm like, oh, this is your first time being in a dynasty. Yeah.
I remember my first beer.
I was like, yeah, everybody loves you when you win one.
Oh, you must have loved that Arizona basketball franchise.
Which one, the Suns?
No, there's not exactly.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I've never been a Suns fan. But I hated it when the Suns would beat the Lakers.
Good, guess.
And then, if you want to add some context to what's going on here, real quick.
I talked about this today because somebody at work was like, yeah, I dressed up as like a, they said they dressed up as a Scottish person. They're like, cultural appropriation. I was like, I legit dressed up as a full Mexican. That was Jinsey's birthday. Actually, that was hella funny. So this is my good friend Jinsey. It was her birthday. It was like her 26th or
love
something.
Jinsey.
And we were decorating and her cousins were there and we had all these like Mexico decorations. And they were like, you guys know she's El Salvadorian, right?
Yeah, from Australia.
And we were like, and? And so we fully went on with her Mexican themed birthday party.
So she also wrote, when he first moved here, he lived in a closet before he came out of the closet with a pet parrot that talked as a roommate.
Yes. So the people I lived with, they had a parrot and it would just like Jinsey would come over sometimes and like again I lived in a closet, so we'd have to be in the living room. Oh, sometimes we'd hang out in the closet too. But there was this parrot and it would just talk to you. I wonder how those people are doing. I thought I saw her once at a Chevron, but I didn't want to say hi because I don't like people that much. But, so I was like,
Clarence is an epitome of resilience, overcoming obstacles with unwavering determination. Since embracing his true self, he has soared to incredible heights, seizing every opportunity to live life to its fullest. Witnessing his remarkable journey from styling mannequins at Forever 21 to ascending to the pinnacle of a prominent fitness company fills me with immense pride. Clarence's unwavering spirit and relentless pursuit of success inspires everyone around him, showcasing the power of perseverance and self-belief. I'm so glad he found Brian, and they are the perfect match. He deserves this type of happiness. That's from the homie Gen Z.
Aww.
I asked Randy. Randy, South Randy.
Randy.
Randy got me the info from Gen Z. So
yeah.
Shout out.
That means a lot. It does. And like I said, like those people are my family. Those people are my friends. And I've always wanted friends who were like, I remember when.
Yeah.
I never thought to myself I'd have friends who'd be like, I remember when you talked about this version of yourself, wanting to be this version of yourself. But it's something that I think about. I'm a very reflective person. I like to look back at the past. I don't get mad about my mistakes. I don't try to change the things that I did because all of it made me who I am. And I think that the people in my life are, starting with my husband to, you know, my mom, my sister, my friends, these are all people that motivate me to like just keep going. Like, it's really easy to just believe in yourself, which is not true, but it really is at the root of it, to know that the world is going to put you down. People are going to make you feel bad. So many people are not going to believe in you. If I can wake up every day and choose to not be one of those people, I think something really good can happen.
Lean into the discomfort.
Yes. Oh, I love being uncomfortable.
Do you have any final words for anyone?
To all of you guys, this was great. This was awesome. I've been so tired this week. One thing they never tell you is when you do get those big jobs or whatever, you have to work a lot. It's tiring. So I've been this week has already been busy. It feels like it should be Friday, but I was looking forward to this one because I know this guy is, I'm proud. I haven't known you like 20 years, but I'm like, I love that you are someone who was like, you're stupid. Hey man, like, how are you doing? I love that you have that in you because a lot of people don't have that, like, hindsight of like, let me have a real conversation. And that's what my husband likes to, because he's like, Ramel is just real. He's like real and he wants to have real conversations with you. So I was really excited to do this. This was awesome. Super professional. Like, again, this is what I do.
Shout out to Jay.
This is what I do for my life. The preparation that all of you took. And I'm like, man, this is like prime time. So I wish you all nothing but success. And anybody listening, the only thing I would say to you is just be you. Like, you know, don't be afraid to do it either. I feel like I got this really good advice when I first started teaching group fitness, and the girl told me, she goes, hey, listen, you seem pretty cool. Remember that there's only 60 spots, so you don't have to be everyone's favorite. Just try to be 60 people's favorite. And what I would say to you in life is like, you don't even like some of the people that you're trying to impress. So just decide who's important to you and live for them and just do that.
Episode 212.
212. Lil Bear, a.k.a. Clarence Hairston
Belote. What's the IG? What's the IG? Because it's not Lil Bear.
It's not at Lil Bizzy. My friends made it for him. So LilBizzy. You're just going to see a lot of my dog, some random sports takes.
Yeah. And don't go to at Lil Bear because I actually accidentally like misled them to another person and I apologize for that.
At Lil Bizzy, LilBizzy.
Episode 212.
Love, free tea.